Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That Podcast, show number 79.
Ooh, almost 80.
Almost 80. And before I get started, I'll say our phone number, which is 206-333-1003. We've got a call from Ken from Hawaii, from Honolulu, that we'll talk about a little bit later in the program. So, what's been going on?
Well, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Hey, you know what happened on Friday?
Tell me.
The Texas State Fair opened.
That's true. Are you going to go this year?
I don't know. I might. I have some friends coming in from out of town.
Yeah.
But, you know, the big talk of the fair is the fried butter.
Yeah, and I'm not a big butter fan, except in, like, cooking and stuff. So I probably won't try that, because I like to try the new fried food of the of the year, you know?
And this year, it's fried butter. I know that sounds disgusting. And
it really does.
It really does sound disgusting. It's like a golf ball-sized hunk of butter that's been breaded and then fried. And there's some, I guess you can get it in several flavors. One was garlic flavor, and one was like grape flavor. Oh my God, it just sounds so disgusting.
They should have a vomit pit right next to where they sell that.
Yeah.
I mean, for me anyways, it sounds disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could ever eat a ball of butter.
Yeah.
But I like butter and like baked goods and, you know, sauteing and things like that. And that's what I should talk about real fast on the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the hour. That sounds funny to say that. So I've been, you know, cooking. I think I told you that and informed people of that in the podcast. I've been kind of, but what I'm amazed at is the relative ease of some wonderful food. And what kind of got me going a little bit is sauteing.
Oh, all right.
It's so easy. I bought a really nice saute pan. I didn't really need to, but I got, you know, excited about it. But
yeah.
Just sauteing things like fresh fish and even steak and boneless chicken. It's so easy and it's so yummy. And I'm kind of learning how to use, you know, herbs and spices and things like that. And my mom helped me with this. She's so funny because my favorite meal when I go home is pork roast. Love it. And so she's like, looks out, she goes, Jeff, if you look in the sales, you can find pork roast for really cheap. And so she emailed me and said, hey, $1.79 at Kroger. And
oh my gosh, she's looking for you online?
Yes.
And there's a mom.
And so
I
bought like 10 pounds of it, and I roasted 1/4 of it last week, and it was just stunningly yummy. I mean,
what'd you do with the rest of it?
It's in the freezer.
Oh, okay.
So I cut it into portion size. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I bought two big ones and I forgot to cut the second big one into two smaller versions. So, ooh, that's going to be hard. I don't know what I'm going to do about that now. Can you thaw and refreeze? That's probably not very good.
Probably not.
So I'm going to have to have a dinner party with pork.
You have to call mom so she can vicariously taste it.
I know, but it was so good. And I bought a fancy meat thermometer, which is really great. It's like I can be sitting at my desk and I got the little remote that shows what the internal meat thermometer is. I know you can't relate to this because you're not a meat person.
Oh my God,
was it good. And all I did was like I just put oil all around the roast. And
a little bit of butter?
Well, I could have.
A little fried butter.
But a little parsley. No, not a little parsley. A little sage and thyme around it. And it's just really easy. I mean, again, hugely easy. And I thought I couldn't get pork roast unless I went home to mom's. Now, mom's was still better. I mean, she's been doing it for years. And there's something about what she does that just makes it really sparkle, but this was pretty darn good.
Oh, all right. There you go, Mom.
So, and the fish itself is really easy. It doesn't take very long, and it's so yummy, and, you know, so when it gets winter time and it gets colder, I want to try crock pot cooking, especially if I'm working at the time, because I'm not working right now.
I've done that.
Crock pot really cooking good. Seems like you can get started in the morning. Mm-hmm. By the time you come home, it's done, and it's sort of these stewy things.
I love to make soups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and soups is a great deal. I really want to get more. I want to start having lentil soup and so forth, because I know it's so healthy.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's kind of a world of discovery, and I'm enjoying that. Oh, there goes the light again. The light's a little bit weird today. The light flickers off and on.
Our light bulb.
Maybe we're having an earthquake here in Texas.
Oh, So what else is going on? I noticed you're wearing a shirt there that is the, I thought it was Starbucks, and now that I'm looking closely.
Yes, this is.
You've got the Starbucks logo, but it says $5 coffee.
This is a joke t-shirt from my sister in Greenville, South Carolina. It's a funny shirt.
It is hilarious, actually. It's the Starbucks logo, and you think it says Starbucks until you look closely, and it's called $5.
Making fun of the old Starbucks chain.
I am. Have you heard about the professor that wrote the book about Starbucks
now? No, tell me.
It's a Temple University professor that just came out with a book called Everything But the Coffee, Learning About America from Starbucks. And it's meant to be part of the public debate about what our purchases at Starbucks mean and how consumption there shapes our lives even when we don't intend it to. So Starbucks made $10.4 billion in 2008, right?
Yeah.
So this guy has visited 425 Starbucks shops in 9 countries. And he's
what research.
He's hanging, I know, can you imagine?
And he's very, very caffeinated.
That's right. And he's hung out there for 15 hours a week over the past few years. And he's witnessed a lot.
15 hours a week.
I know,
week,
do you believe
God.
That? He's witnessed a lot of...
Coffee.
Yeah, really.
Caffeine
checked
headaches.
Checked out the bathroom a lot, right? Well, his conclusions are that while people used to be able to find meaningful conversation at libraries and rec centers and parks, public spaces are less available and less desirable now because municipal resources are focused elsewhere. So Starbucks has taken up that void. However, there's very limited spontaneous discussion or interaction at all. The couches, the chairs, the tables are used for planned meetings or solo work on laptops. So rarely do different people doing different things at Starbucks actually talk or exchange ideas. But that's the crucial part of a community. And so he's saying that Starbucks is actually pushing us in a different direction, unintentionally or intentionally,
right.
And that it's actually becoming bad for our country.
So has that ever, though, been, have there ever been places where people go and talk to strangers? I mean, has that really ever been part of our society fabric?
Well, he's saying it used to be at public libraries and at parks.
I don't ever remember talking to strangers at public libraries. In fact, you always get the you know,
that's
from
true.
The librarians.
That's true. Yeah, or rec centers or public spaces. I don't know where public debate used to be.
And rec centers, yeah, I mean, they were used and probably still are used as the Starbucks would be used. Like, hey, we're going to have a meeting.
Right.
You know, our knitting group or whatever it is.
Right.
Well, so that hasn't really changed, you know? I wonder.
Now he's saying that a lot of folks are using Starbucks to carry out day-to-day business. So
well, that's true.
They're independent contractors without access to offices, and you see that all the time, right?
Well, even out just to get out of the house.
Right, you'll go there, right,
I'll
hang
get out
there.
And have 3 hours on my laptop, read a book or whatever, just to get out of the house, you know?
So he says that customers line up for lattes for a number of reasons. Treat themselves, carry a status symbol, support coffee growers in undeveloped countries, relax in a safe haven, or taste a bit of comfort. But he questions whether the public embrace of Starbucks keeps people from doing the hard work necessary to build better communities. I thought that was kind of interesting because I've noticed that too. It's like, well, why is there a bunch of people sitting here, you know, like all in their own little pods, in their own little worlds, unless they came in with somebody. But you'd hardly ever see, I don't ever see people striking up conversation.
I question whether that ever really happened. I don't think people like to be
Well, maybe when you think back on, I don't know, old movies, there'd be people sitting on rocking chairs on the front of hardware stores, you know? I mean, maybe that
was the
true.
Time. That's true.
But they're not like that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And, you know, I saw an advertisement for Starbucks recently. I saw it a couple spots. And I can't remember the name of the product now, but they're like, oh, big news is coming at Starbucks. We got this new product. And they didn't say what the product was.
Yeah.
You know, it's just marketing. But it sort of looked from what they were kind of suggesting like it was a new form. I think the tagline was something like, see if you can tell the difference. And what it looked like was like they were introducing some new form of instant coffee. Now, that's interesting because I don't know if that's for sale, like in a retail thing, or whether they would offer that as like, would you like our, you know, cappuccino? Or would you like our instant coffee? Now, why you would ever want the instant coffee, I don't know, unless it's like at a cheaper price or whatever. Now, yeah, take home instant coffee that tastes much closer to brewed coffee might be a nice little thing to have in a pinch at your house, you know? Anyway, interesting. They're trying to generate some interest there. And speaking, another thing about Starbucks I saw in the news recently, I think it was on Bill Maher, where the city of L.A. has more pot shops
than Starbucks. I know there's 624 Starbucks in LA, right?
And wow, you remember? You know?
I remember the numbers because that was pretty interesting, and a lot more.
You can go in and buy pot. Now, I guess you have to
have medical
a
prescription for it.
Right. And Bill Maher's point was like, you know, there's no laws that say you can do this, but the city of LA is just kind of making it happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By allowing it, essentially.
Right.
They're not persecuting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
But, you know, we were talking the other day, and it's a kind of constant theme on the show, how really dumb Americans are.
Yes, it is.
And I've got a recent study where they interviewed 1,140 high school students who were asked 10 random questions from the U.S. Citizenship Act, the Immigration Services exam.
What other people have to take to become citizens.
To become a citizen, right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the sample of these 10 questions were like immigrants would have to answer 6 of them. Well, only 3.5% of high school kids got them. And I wanted to share these with you because...
they're just so insanely simple.
Well, most of them are. Okay, let me ask. What is the supreme law of the land?
The Constitution.
Okay, 30% of people got that one right. What do we call the first 10 amendments of the Constitution?
The Bill of Rights.
All right, 25% got that. What are the two parts of the U.S. Congress?
The House of Representatives and the Senate.
Yes, I would have just taken Senate and House.
All right.
How many justices are on the Supreme Court?
9.
9.4% got that.
9.4% got that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Who wrote the Declaration of Independence?
Thomas Jefferson.
Very good. You're good. All right. This one is embarrassingly. And what ocean is on the east side of the United States?
You've got to be kidding me.
No. Nope.
How many people missed the Atlantic Ocean?
40% people missed that.
40%. Oh, my God.
What are the two major political parties in the United States?
Oh, my Lord. I was actually reading about libertarianism.
Yeah.
And they consider themselves the third largest party. Guess how many members?
How many?
300,000.
Wow. Wow.
Boy, that's going to make a dent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, only 50% of the people... said Democrat and Republican.
Oh, my Lord.
We elect a U.S. senator for how many years?
Is it 6 or 4?
It's 6.
Six.
That's the one I recognize as a little bit more difficult.
That's tough,
14.5% got that.
Right.
Who is the first president of the United States?
Oh, no. Are you telling me people didn't know this?
26.5% got it. So
that means 75% could not get it, right?
Three-quarters of... high school students did not know the first president of the United States.
Oh, that's
what does that say about us?
It says we're pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who's in charge of the executive branch?
Oh, my God. People don't know that.
Nope. 75% didn't answer the president. So.
And most people can't name the three branches of government anyhow.
Right.
Most people don't even understand there are three branches.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I had that in high school civics, I remember.
Yeah.
So it's just part of the curriculum. Do they either not teach that or anymore?
I would think
they
would test to that, but maybe it's not part of the test that they're teaching to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. I think that somebody trying to be naturalized has to know that.
Right.
And yet our own
and these people get out,
Americans.
And they're the ones at these town hall meetings. And both, I'm not saying they're conservative, I'm saying both sides.
Yeah.
Trying to talk in... trying to act like they have any depth at all about the issues that face our country.
Mm-hmm.
You see why they shouldn't be listened to? I mean, that sounds totally undemocratic, but come on. We need the smart people to be the ones making our decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what our founding fathers said. I've read Jefferson. I've read Adams. That's exactly what they said. They said the dumb people, they didn't deny them the vote, but they said it's the responsibility of the smart people to make policy.
For the dumb people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
There you go.
We're dumb, but Gretchen and I aren't dumb.
No, I think I might have scored okay on that one.
Yes, I think you would have.
Oh, well. This is an interesting, you know, you've been hearing a lot about what's going on with this flu and the swine flu, and we just had our flu shots at the office on Friday.
Okay.
But this is what I thought this was interesting. This message isn't really getting out. I mean, everybody's getting the message, you have to wash your hands to avoid the flu, right?
Right.
You've heard that. You heard the president say it. You've heard the secretary.
And especially avoid, if you can't wash your hands, really try to avoid contact with your mouth.
Well, here's the second part, of that. You're just supposed to keep your hands off your face entirely, not just your mouth, but your face.
Oh, interesting.
You can carry a virus through your eyes, your nose, your lips.
Oh.
I thought that was really interesting. And so they did all these tests, and they've looked at volunteers, and they just look at people. And I didn't know this, but the average person touches their face 16 times an hour.
Wow.
Isn't that unreal?
So it's really hard not to do that,
it's
actually.
It's really hard not to do it.
It's all part of our, you know, habits and so forth.
And then they looked again at this flu virus, and it lives. This was what was really gross, is that the virus is capable of causing illness. They lurk on doorknobs and counters and use tissues. But a study from, it was a while back, though, that found that viruses lived on hard surfaces for 24 to 48 hours and on soft materials for 8 to 12 hours. Members of the Mexico City Hospital, where the first cases of H1N1 surfaced, found that the flu virus was on the patient's hands, a computer mouse, a bed rail, walls, clothes, and other items in treatment rooms, some that had been left 72 hours and already cleaned, and the virus was still there.
You know, one thing that I do try to do, especially now during flu season, and I got to get better, especially in public places like the gym and so forth, is I do carry a little tiny, you know, antibacterial.
Right.
It's just so easy to just put it on your hands. But, you know, it's amazing that these things live for so long on surfaces.
Right.
And yet more of us almost don't get the flu, you know?
Yeah.
And as much as we touch our face and all that.
Or as much as you shake hands with somebody and touch your face.
Right.
But the virus can live on your body as it won't get absorbed through your leg or your fingers or anything. And it just literally has to go through your body either through one of those passages. So that's actually a kind of a good thing to know, that if we weren't in the habit of touching our face, we would probably be...
We really would help our avoidance.
So it was just something I'm thinking of, you know.
So that's the lesson today from this and that podcast.
Oops, quit, I just touched my
quit
nose.
Quit touching that face.
I just touched my nose. Oh, God.
Well, I have great news. You're a lefty, right?
No, I'm a righty.
Oh, why was I thinking you were a lefty?
I'm a righty.
I was thinking that. Okay, well, I have great news for lefties. Actually, it wouldn't apply to you, too, because it's really lefty guys.
Oh, okay.
There is a store or a manufacturer called H-O-M, or I guess it's a store, actually. They have created a brand. This is going to just shake the fabric of the world. They've created underpants, underwear for men, for lefties. And it will have a horizontal spacing instead of the vertical slit. Now, that vertical slit is breaking a tradition, because that vertical slit, and I actually had to check my underwear when I read this, like, yeah, I can see that. I never really thought about it. Oh. But it kind of opens to the right-handed guy. So when you're at the urinal, it's so much easier to get in there if you're right-handed.
Oh, so lefties have had a problem.
Lefties have had a problem. And these Y-fronted underpants, the traditional one, have been around since 1935. What's interesting is they never offered a left-handed one. I wonder how big of a problem this is, really, but of course it's all marketing.
Don't you think that left-handers adapt to their environment pretty well?
Yes,
and
of course.
And even if they are left-handed to right, they may do the deed with their right hand, right?
Exactly. I think there is. You can probably reach in and handle your business with that. But 10%, and I assume this is probably global, 10% of British men are believed to be left-handed. Does that sound about right from what you've seen?
10% of
things?
British men are left-handed? Okay.
Yeah. I imagine that's global. Right. I mean, I don't know if there's anything special about
British men, right.
So the guy that's a spokesman here said, as a result, left-handed men have had to reach much further into their pants, performing a Z-shaped maneuver through 280-degree angles. They really analyzed this.
Sounds like something you could grab.
Before achieving the result that right-handed men perform with ease.
So does it take longer if you're left-handed?
Well, I think you'd have to snake through these 180-degree turns. But what I don't understand is they seem to be adding a horizontal slit, but that seems would be ambidextrous.
Yes, it would be. But so it's just maybe, changing the whole philosophy of how it looks.
Right, which is fine, but they're sort of like marketing this as for lefties. So I'm a little bit confused, because it's like, well, it sounds like they're going to an ambidextrous solution, which is fine.
Right.
So then I just found this quote funny. The spokesman says, switching the opening from vertical to horizontal may sound like a small step, but it's a major breakthrough that many have been waiting for. Like,
All right.
Well, if we not have, quite up with a man walking on the moon, perhaps, but...
Well, if there are any left-handed men out there that like to give this a try and let us know, that would be nice.
Yeah, let us know if it feels like freedom to you, or, you know.
If it saves time.
Yes.
if you don't have to reach as far.
Right, or make funny angles. Maybe your wrist is like, has been awkwardly hurting all these years.
Maybe
because
it's like carpal tunnel for left-handies.
Right. It's really unfair that we righties have had this thing great for a long time.
Well, let's see. Is it along those lines? Well, not exactly. You know, there's this debate about cell phone radiation, right? We all pretty much have cell phones anymore, right?
Yeah, I thought that was debunked. Debate.
No.
Still out there?
Yeah, it is still out there.
Like if you hold it up to your head.
Right. There's all kinds of studies, and some of them say that... Is there a hard link between cancer and cell phones? Some studies are showing an increased risk for brain and mouth tumors for people who have used cell phones for at least 10 years. And then, of course, the cell phone industry lobbying group comes back and says, oh, scientific evidence has overwhelmingly indicated that wireless devices do not pose a health hazard. However, I didn't know this. 6 countries, that includes, of course, France, Germany, and Israel, have issued limits of usage of cell phones, particularly for children. Now, I thought that was pretty interesting because kids do get cell phones pretty early.
Yeah.
But there is a study out now that lists, they've looked at the actual radiation from 1,000 different brands of cell phones.
Really?
And you can actually go and check out the listing, and the highest listings are coming up for T-Mobile, Motorola, and they list every particular brand too. And so you can go and you can check out 1,000 different cell phones.
How does the iPhone?
iPhone comes in, it's smack dab in the middle.
Okay.
It's in the middle, but the best are pretty much the Samsung Impression, the Motorola Razr, Samsung. They are really in the best ones.
Really?
And the worst are Motorola Moto, T-Mobile MyTouch, Kyocera, Jax, BlackBerry Curve 8330, another Motorola, a T-Mobile Shadow, Motorola. They are down in the bottom.
Wow.
Whereas the best are sort of be Samsung. So I thought that was interesting. So next time I'm buying one, I don't know, I may think about it since it doesn't seem like the research is completely definitive.
Right.
You know?
Maybe if you find, like, you know, 3 or 4 comparable phones that you could be happy with,
right,
maybe you check
maybe
that
just
rating.
Look at that, right. Yeah. The American Cancer Society, the World Health Organization, the Food and Drug Administration, among others, have all concurred that wireless devices are not a public health risk. That's what the lobbying group is saying. But then again, you've got to go, well, why are these other countries saying, you know, we're not completely convinced?
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, governments make funny decisions for their people. Poland, did you see what they did recently?
No, what did they do?
They, on Friday, this has happened last Friday, they approved a law making chemical castration mandatory for pedophiles in some cases.
Whoa.
It sparked a lot of criticism from human rights groups, especially I'll get down to later what the president actually said. But under the law, pedophiles convicted of raping children under the age of 15 would have to undergo chemical therapy on their release from prison. So during prison... And the quote here is, the purpose of this action, the government statement, the purpose of this action is to improve the mental health of the convict, to lower his libido, and therefore reduce the risk of another crime being committed by the same person. The Prime Minister of Poland, Donald Tusk, said late last year he wanted obligatory castration for pedophiles whom he branded degenerates. Tusk said that he did not believe one can use the term human for such individuals, such creatures. Hmm. Therefore, I don't think protection of human rights should refer to these kind of events.
Hmm.
And obviously that drew a lot of human rights criticism from all over the world. Yeah, so anyways, that's what's going on. Pretty controversial, really, and... You know, it's. I don't know what to think of it. I mean, it seems like it's a violation.
Is that considered, here in the United States, would we call that cruel and unusual punishment?
Probably. But I feel like I need more information. Like, what does chemical castration do? I mean, does it ease these people's minds? Does it give them a better life? I mean... It just seems very abrupt and abusive. I'm not striking a statement here because I just don't know. I feel like as a learned person, I would need more facts to understand the issues.
Right.
My gut says, boy, it seems a little extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chemical castration. I wonder what that even is. And I wonder if there's side effects of that too.
Hmm.
You know?
And I guess the taxpayers are paying for that in Poland.
Well, it doesn't go into it, but I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, have you heard about the, the unemployment I thought this was sort of sadly interesting that there's a lot of people out of work, but it turns out there's 2.4 million full-time permanent jobs open and 14.5 million people officially unemployed. So it's a 6-to-1 ratio right now, which is really pretty high. It's the largest since anybody has actually tracked that statistic, the Labor Department.
Huh.
Isn't that kind of scary?
Yeah.
The immediate effect is obvious, but the long-term effects may not be known. People who are looking will look longer, and the unemployment rate will certainly go over 10% and stay there for several more quarters.
Wow.
So, and that means that we will be providing unemployment benefits longer, and there will be less tax receipts. Because there's payroll taxes being generated.
Right.
So it's sad. You know, it is sad.
It's not a good thing to have.
No, not a good thing. Yeah, are you feeling it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, what I find out there, because I'm unemployed, for those who don't know, I'm not worried about it too much. I'm just got this optimistic nature. And, you know, I've got a few things, potential things going on. But I find that the number of jobs out there seem to be similar to what I've experienced previously, but I just get a lot less callbacks. That's what I've noticed. And I'm guessing a couple—
Because there'd be more people looking, right?
Right.
So they have more people to go through.
They have more people to go through, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which would sort of validate this number.
Yeah. And sadly, I think my resume, it's very experienced in what I do. It also probably, you know, between the lines reads money. You know, so this guy is a high salary person, and that's probably in this environment potentially may not fare out really well.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
Hmm.
Yeah. What about you? How's your company and everything? Job secure?
We're doing okay. We're sort of riding it out. We've got a lot, you know, riding on the fourth quarter because we make products that people
right.
buy for children.
Right.
So we're hoping that we were hoping to be level with last year. I mean, which is actually pretty optimistic,
right,
considering
right.
What a lot of businesses are right now. So I think our bonuses are going to be delayed, if we still get a bonus. But,
right.
So again, that's another, I think we're still having a holiday party. I mean, there's still things about us that are it's still very nice. So I'm certainly not complaining, but.
No, it's a good time, I think, to have a job. I talked to a few people who are working and they express a little bit of, they're just like, well, I'm glad I'm not out there not working right now. Cause it's a little scary time.
Right.
I should be more practical. I'm on vacation.
We're sort of happy that, not happy that there are no wage increases, but, you have to go, the company is, it's in a tough.
Yeah. If the worst thing that happens in a 2 or 3 year really downtime is to not have a wage increase, you think, well,
right.
That's.
And I understand.
Could be worse.
Yeah. It could definitely be
yeah.
worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we go take Ken's call, go listen to that,
yeah.
And we'll come back after.
Okay.
Hello, this is Ken from Honolulu. You have, on several shows, you have said something, and I need to take issue with it because it's just finally gotten to an irritation point. You said that people who are overweight should be required to pay more for health insurance because of their bad choices. But that doesn't take into account genetics. My family is predisposed for obesity. I mean, we're all overweight. And for me, anything short of bariatric surgery won't work. I mean, when I was a Marine and I was running 5 miles a day, I was just barely within the limit. So, but taking that model, then athletes should be charged more because they're going to be getting hurt. I mean, that's just part of being an athlete, isn't it? Is injuries. Or how about women that stay in a domestic violence situation? They're making a really bad choice, so they should be charged more, or even just told that if they don't get out of this situation, they won't be given any medical care at all? Or do we push that even a little further and the government tax gasoline to the point of $20 a gallon to force people to start walking, riding the bicycle, taking the bus, so that they can meet the Kyoto protocols? I mean, what you're talking about is just total discrimination. And I mean, that's like a person that rides a motorcycle. Some insurance companies won't cover them if they get hurt while they're riding the motorcycle, which is really stupid because they'll cover a drunk driver. So, you know, you need to think a little more on before you start saying that overweight people and stuff like that should be required to pay more in insurance. It's just not fair. All right. Bye.
Okay. So anyway, that's a good call. And I, you know, I don't disagree with a lot that you said, but I don't think we ever, what I take issue with is that I don't think we ever said there should be, you know, a healthcare system that, charges obese people more. I think what we were saying, at least maybe this didn't come across very well, but I think what I was trying to say was it would be great to have a healthcare system that did sort of incentivize healthy behavior. So even whether you're obese or not, to incentivize you to exercise and eat properly and so forth. And I don't really know how to do that, and I don't want to get into that, but you know, that's a far-flung idealist thing here. I think that would be good because at the end of the day, that's kind of why healthcare costs are rising higher than inflation, mm-hmm. because of people's bad habits. And you know, it's a whole other debate. Can you legislate habits, right? You know, and should you? We're in a free country. And so that's interesting. But I just wanted to take issue with the point that I don't think we were promoting that, hey, you go into a system and you're obese or you smoke or you have, you know, certain things that you're already preconditions, if you will, that you should be automatically pay more for that. I don't think so at all. I think an obese person that is living a healthy lifestyle should potentially be rewarded for that. You know, if we could craft some sort of policy that allowed you to do that. Because ultimately, that's good for the country. It's good for our healthcare costs and, you know, it's good for society, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, here's something that seems counterintuitive, but there has been a study by the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that said they've reviewed 162 scientific studies, and they've concluded that there is no nutritional difference between organic and ordinary foods. None. Zippo.
Really?
Even when it comes to vitamin C, calcium, and iron, same goes for meat, eggs, and dairy.
Now, see, I always thought, I that doesn't surprise me necessarily, but what does surprise me is I always thought the big advantage to organic, and whether it's big advantage or not, was the lack of use of pesticides.
Right, and other chemicals like fertilizer.
Yeah.
Right. That study didn't cover that, so it was highly critical, but it did say that there's little, if any, nutritional difference between organic and conventionally produced food, and there's no evidence of additional health benefits from eating organic food. It did not touch on pesticides. So especially mothers who are concerned about what their children eat and the effects of pesticide over time, mm-hmm. you know, accumulating in fatty tissue, that's where the study didn't address it at all. But it is interesting. Interesting that just on a purely compare the two, you know, like you're spending, you know, so much more for organics and, you know, how much really is it going to help you?
And I'll bet this study was not sponsored by Whole Foods.
No, I do not think it was. It was actually looking at a compendium of other studies. So it studied 162 studies and came up with one conclusion. Yeah,
right.
And that was in England. But here was something that I thought was also kind of unusual. Is it, do you buy generics at all?
Oh, yeah. Was it for some things, absolutely.
For some things, yeah. Well,
especially things like vitamins and, no, I shouldn't say vitamins, but like pills and aspirin and things like that.
That's one of the things you should buy. There, a lot of people don't know. And a generic is just the pretty much the store or supermarket brand, but you can save 30% or more by buying it. Really, the costs are realized in the fact that there's no marketing for a generic brand.
Yeah.
It's the store brand. It's just on the shelf. There it is.
Yep.
What a lot of people don't know is that many store brands are produced by the same manufacturers that make the products that you do know.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you buy generic aluminum foil, it is probably made by Alcoa.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
It's just not branded in Reynolds Wrap, and you don't have all the money associated with that. So this particular study says that what you should buy, the generics that you should go ahead and spend the money on, are produce. Which I hadn't really thought about that, but don't buy the orange with the Sunkist sticker or the Chiquita banana. If you have the option, they're saying buy the non branded.
Yeah, totally believe that.
By the non-branded, you can save 33% to 50%. And they're saying from a food safety perspective, no matter how it's marketed or packaged, you have to adhere to the same standards. So
okay.
Dole lettuce, you know, is the same as the other lettuce.
Yeah,
you
know? Kroger lettuce.
And then what you were saying is over-the-counter medications.
Yeah.
Definitely buy those. And actually, I have a doctor friend who automatically goes and buys the generic always. And it's not because it's saving money. It's just he knows that the formulation is identical.
So what's interesting about that is because in a lot of medical insurances, they say, well, we'll pay you. It's a lot cheaper for you to buy generics versus regulars if you choose it. And it almost seems like, well, shouldn't it be a no-brainer? Is there ever a situation where you should choose the non-generic form? And I wonder if there is.
I actually had a doctor tell me once for birth control pills that...
We had a little bit of a technical meltdown here. For some reason, we actually rambled on and recorded the rest of the show. And my recorder had just play and not record. So we got up to this point where it recorded, and then it stopped. Very weird. So we're going to try to cover some material, but because it won't be as spontaneous, we'll probably cover it fairly quickly. So apologize for that.
Oh, technical difficulties.
Happens sometimes in amateur land. you were in the middle of your organic.
Or generics, right?
Generics.
What generics to buy? So we talked about buy produce. You don't need to buy an orange with a Sunkist sticker. Buy over-the-counter meds, which you said you did anyhow. And I said I have a doctor friend who does it all the time. You can save 73%, for example, on non-drowsy allergy relief tablets. Buy the other thing that you said you buy, which is basic skincare and beauty, because you can also save a lot. And they're made at the same factory for the most part. So that skin cleanser, body lotion, astringent, that kind of thing. Also buy staples for your pantry, like flour, salt, spices, and sugar, because they're going to be meeting the same FDA guidelines, and it doesn't really matter.
Not real staples, huh?
Yeah, you don't really have to buy Morton's salt. You know, you can really buy the generic salt, and it's probably still going to taste the same. And last but not least...
If it's having mic problems too now, boy, if it's not Morton salt, I can tell the difference.
Oh, can you? Well, now there's so many types of salt, right?
You should
be having your sea salt.
This podcast sponsored by the good people at Morton Salt. If it's not Morton, it ain't salt.
Yeah. All right. Oh, but don't forget to also buy organic foods, because every grocery store chain has their own version of organics now, and it's pretty much meeting all the same standards of organic. So whether it's the chicken broth or the peanut butter or the fat-free milk, it's probably better to buy the non-advertised organic, you know, brand if you want to save up to 50%.
Right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like the generic stuff.
Yeah, I know. I see. I just saw you have generic aspirin in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
See, I put my money where my mouth is.
That's right.
I don't just say it for the podcast. I live the life.
Then let's see. I talked briefly about vending machines of the world, which we don't have to cover that all again. But we were talking about some of the ones that we have been seeing a lot lately are not typical ones, like the electronics vending machines where you get all the Apple accessories.
At the airports, typically, yeah.
And I said there's now hot food vending machines. There's umbrella vending machines, flower vending machines. So you want to get fresh flowers at the airport, really good idea. You can get fresh bread. You can get beauty products from Elizabeth Arden.
And customized beauty products.
Yes, right. Tell you if your skin is dry or combination skin.
Right.
You can get perfumes and colognes out of a vending machine now.
Right.
Which is actually good for men. You can go try it out if you wouldn't normally go to the men's store.
Right. Which I made the comment before, and I'll stop saying that because I know you know that. But that's... great for men, because we don't go to department stores and say, "Ooh, I can't wait to spend, you know, half an hour looking at colognes at the department store."
It's not what we do. Kinds, right?
But that doesn't mean we don't necessarily want a nice smelling cologne and try different things.
Right.
But we're just not going to, that's not the way we operate. So if it's at the airport, we're bored, we probably use that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Where I think women that's probably a less seller for women. I think they like to go with their girlfriends to the...
You want to smell them, and there's so much marketing behind them. Do you really want to smell like Beyonce?
Right.
Or do you want to smell like Sarah Jessica Parker? I mean...
By the way, as long as we're talking about something related to this, let's talk about something that we had at lunch. Maybe our listeners, especially male listeners, will have some suggestions. Okay, here's the conundrum. And I didn't talk about this before, so this is all new, fresh stuff. So
okay. You're getting
the best. You're getting the best of Jeff and Gretchen. So the conundrum here is I've got some time on my hands. I love to travel, always have loved to travel. And I am so jealous of all my girlfriends who have lots of travel partners. And the reason they have lots of travel partners is for really two things. Women like to travel as well. And women are very comfortable traveling with girlfriends. And women tend to have a lot of girlfriends. So most girls that I have in my life, or women that I have in my life, have lots of opportunities to travel.
Right.
Now, I don't have a lot of male friends. And the male friends that I do have, generally, it would be weird to go traveling with them, to go Europe and have great food.
Right.
It just does. That's not what men do, okay?
Right.
But I want to do that. So men out there, I mean, I'm sure I cannot be alone. Single men out there, what do you do? How do you travel? How do you do the things that you want to do? I could go anywhere alone. And I know a lot of people like really enjoy that. Honestly, I don't love it love it so much. I can do it maybe for a short amount of time, but like a week-long trip to Eastern Europe, I don't want to do it by myself. I get lonely. That's just me. So I need some solutions.
Right. Or if there's any women who have other male friends in this position, if you've got any ideas for Jeff.
Yeah,
I suggested some tours.
Yeah, you know, and maybe tours
with special interests that he would find interesting. Like there are adventure tours, and if he wanted to go mountain biking somewhere, I thought that would be a high percentage of guys mountain biking.
But I don't need it to be guys either. I mean, I like traveling with women.
Oh yeah,
you know?
I see what you're saying. He's like, looking for.
And I would probably rather go to Buenos Aires and see the city and do some wine tasting in Argentina versus mountain biking, just because you know. So, it's really a conundrum. I got the time, got the money, no one to travel with, and it sucks.
Oh,
I know.
We're sorry about that, Jeff.
I know.
Oh.
But I don't think I'm alone. I think it's a single male problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think I think that's about that. And I think I was just sort of wrapping it up with my comment about, have you ever dated a woman who was missing teeth?
You know, all the time, that's one of my criteria.
Is it?
I find it sexy to get your tongue in there and into the gaps. Gross! No, and of course not. But Gretchen, you had a date.
Oh, I have had a date, and it's not just the only one. And that's what's so remarkable to me, is what a double standard it is that a man would look into the mirror in this day and age where there's a cosmetic dentist on every corner and not think that perhaps a woman might be turned off by a very visible missing tooth for an otherwise intelligent person. How can this be? And I guess I was just asking my single friend Jeff here if he's ever experienced the same on the female side.
No, never had. In fact,
I just think women would be appalled to think that they would be dateable if they were missing a tooth, but men don't seem to think anything of it.
I just find that perplexing as well. But I will have to say, I don't think I've really ever dated a woman or even gone on a blind date or whatever, going out with somebody that wasn't, you know, presentable and that fixed the basic that, things.
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know,
count the teeth. Are they all there? Check.
Right. Right. Exactly.
If
not, maybe it's a trip to the dentist to kind of fix that. Cause it's so easy these days. It's just, some things are easy and you know, you can't fix everything.
There's
and you
payment,
shouldn't fix everything.
There's payment
there's a
plans
line, but
nowadays, and it's just, why would you look at yourself and not think that it was a big deal? And I did mention that I had a friend who had a completely horizontal tooth. It was very distracting. It was hard to talk to him without just focusing on this tooth because it was just in such an odd position. And he went and actually got braces, and they were on for a year, and they're beautiful now, and he smiles all the time, and he says, I wish somebody had told me to do that when I was 9 years old, because he spent his adult life not smiling and being really conscious of it, and I'm the one that kicked him in the pants and said, go get your tooth fixed, because I'm tired of looking at it. And
so now he walks funny because he was kicked in the pants, but it's totally worth it.
That's right, but his teeth look great. His teeth look great. So I told Jeff that I'm going to go do the new trend in travel, since he was talking about travel dilemmas. I'm going to go do the new Cougar Tour, which is older women dating younger men, and there's a new ABC series with Courtney Cox called Cougar Town, where she is the cougar. She's what, a whopping 40 years old, and she's the cougar. But there are travel tours now that you can go on a 3-night cougar cruise on Carnival in December, where you can go look for your male cub on the boat. So
we should go together. You could cruise younger guys, and I could cruise grandma.
Come on, we're not grandmas.
No, I would cruise grandma.
Oh, you'd be looking for grandmas.
It would have to, if it was a cougar thing.
That's right, you'd be looking for...
I couldn't go after women my own age. I would defeat the cougar point.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that was just the last word in dating. So.
There you go.
All right.
So the last thing I had was some public service announcements. And
oh, did you do the interesting foods that'll kill
you?
No,
that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, these
exactly
were
what
great.
I'm gonna do. Yeah.
Because I just ate a tomato and I was thinking about this.
I know. It'll get you thinking. So there's an article about the top 6 most toxic foods that we eat every day. And a quick scan of this stuff was, it's not exactly, in some cases, it's not exactly parts of the food that... that you really do eat, but it's very surprisingly close. So I didn't do the top 10, but I got the top 6. Number 6 is chilies. And there's a chemical called, oh, I butchered these up last time, and I'll butcher them up again because I should have like done some research, but yeah, who's got time for that? Capsaicin is in chilies. And if you can have one or two chilies, and it's okay, but if you have enough chilies at one time, this capsaicin can kill you. The chemical is so strong that it's used as part of a paint stripper. And is even used in pepper spray. Now, the reality, I feel pretty good about that, because how many chilies can you really eat? Let's face it.
Fear Factor, they used to eat a bunch. Remember, that was one of the things they had to do. They'd eat cockroaches if they'd eat 10,000 chilies. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, gross. If I was going to eat a cockroach, I guess I'd want pretty much a chili with it. A really, really hot and nasty one. So I'm focused on that. Potatoes, and this is scary because the stems and the leaves of the plant are toxic. So, but even the potato itself can be toxic. If you ever looked at a potato, you may have realized that some turn a greenish color. This is due to levels of glycoalkaloid poison. In the past, there have been deaths due to potato poisoning. And it's rare, but most happen due to someone drinking potato leaf tea or eating green potatoes.
My favorite.
Oh, I just love the potato leaf tea. Now, death does not come suddenly. It usually results in a weakness and then a coma. And didn't you say you had a greenish baked potato?
I microwaved it, and when I was, because I eat the skins, because that's supposedly where all the vitamins are.
Right.
The inside of the skin was green. And I remember thinking, wow, that's unusual.
Unusual.
Now I know it was poison.
So here is my, don't worry about having the occasional green potato chip, it says. But do discard any potatoes that have green eyes, green sprouts, or greenish skins.
Now I know.
Rather than prepare and serve them, especially to children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Number 4 is almonds. Almonds, most think they're nuts, but they're not a nut. It's a seed. Huh. I found that really interesting.
That was interesting.
It was more interesting the first time around, wasn't it?
The first time, yes, it was.
You're supposed to go, huh, Jeff, that's stunning.
That's amazing.
But you knew that now.
You can stump all your friends at Trivial Pursuit.
I know. It's a nut. I love these nuts. And then they say, yeah, those are good nuts. No, they're not nuts.
No, they're not nuts.
What, are you an idiot? But anyways, they are much like cashews, apparently. Almonds are extremely poisonous if not introduced to some sort of heat source. It is generally the bitter almonds that need to be treated to get rid of the poison. The seeds are full of cyanide, and in many countries are illegal to sell without having been processed. Now, my question is, are all the almonds that we can buy processed? They must be, because they couldn't be selling cyanide.
Right.
So I guess the warning there is, if you see almonds on the ground and by an almond tree or whatever.
Right. Or an almond field, wherever they grow.
Wherever they grow.
Don't go eat them
the
raw.
The almond manufacturing plant.
That's right.
You're such city slickers.
Yeah. The almond farm.
Cherries is number 3. And again, similar, it's in the pit. They call it the pip. So I don't know. I always saw it as a pit. But that's the pip has got hydrogen cyanide, and if it's chewed, crushed, or somehow damaged, it automatically produces that cyanide. So again, I know that I have eaten cherries, like Bing cherries, and will just swallow the pit. I won't eat it. I won't chew it.
But since you didn't catch it, you were probably okay.
Probably okay. But even then, I think I might not even
go there. Exactly.
It doesn't make the stool all that comfortable later. Anyways, just in case probing minds wanted to know.
Thanks for sharing.
It's really a result of laziness.
Not anymore.
Apples, number two. Again, it's the apple seeds. The fruit itself does not contain the chemical. What kind of chemical? Oh, there's a cyanide as well. Wow, a lot of cyanide around. Mm-hmm. But you will find cyanide in apple seeds. Now, you can if you eat all the seeds in one apple for some reason, I don't know why you would do that, but if you did that, you know, you're going to be okay.
Maybe if you did it by mistake, or if they got put in a pie by mistake and you ate them.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not recommended to like eat all the seeds in an apple. But, you know, if you eat enough, it can be difficult. And by the way, speaking about putting something into a blender or something, I heard that hot dogs are made by just putting a pig in a blender, not a blender, but in a big old chopper thing, so all your internal organs and your bones and everything is just what's in a hot dog.
That's disgusting.
Is that not disgusting?
That is disgusting.
Okay. Number one, tomato. Tomato is poisonous in the tomato itself does not have poison, but it's in the leaves contain something called glycoalkaloid. Wow, I'm getting much better at this stuff now.
Yes, okay, this killer.
Yeah.
Acid.
Higher levels are said to be found in wild tomatoes, but even those grown domestically still contain that. So it's known to cause upset stomachs and nervousness. The leaves and stems, apparently, it's in some recipes where you cook for hours and sort of get the taste from it.
Oh.
And that's okay, this says, but you got to remove them before eating.
Oh, interesting.
I wonder what, I wonder if it's like Italian dishes and things that use that.
Wow.
The chemical itself is so powerful that it's actually used as a way to control pests. Now, this is an interesting fact, although it's not interesting the second time around. the whole debate about whether a tomato is a fruit or a vegetable. And according to U.S. Supreme Justice Court in Nix versus Hedden, this is in 1893, it was argued whether it was indeed a vegetable or a fruit. And the court came up, the reason this came up is because they wanted to figure out whether taxes should be paid on them, because at that time there were taxes being paid on vegetables but not on fruits. So that the court ruled that a tomato is a vegetable when referring to the Tariff Act, but is a fruit botanically. So it's very interesting. It really is kind of a dual thing. It's saying scientifically, we are a fruit.
Right.
But
so children are taught that in school, I think. Not that they remember, since they don't even know.
No, they don't even know the first president of the United States.
Right. But that is something that they do learn, because usually a fifth grader will know that a tomato is a fruit.
Right.
But for taxing purposes, it's a vegetable.
Right. There you go.
There you go.
And I think of it as a vegetable only because it's sort of something you put on a salad. And it seems more veggie to me, but...
Right. But had we been indoctrinated to think it was a fruit, we may have treated it like a fruit.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. All right.
Let's have some tomatoes and ice cream. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem very good. So sorry about the abbreviated second half of the show. Hopefully that won't happen again. A little bit less spontaneous, but, you know, spontaneous. I can't speak.
Spontaneity
and spontaneous, yes.
Yes.
So, and also this is before and after lunch. I'm really full.
All right. Well, me too. I had some tomatoes, so maybe I'm poisoned.
Ah. Yeah. All right, kids. So be safe out there.
I hope we recorded.
All right.
All right. Bye. Okay, bye.